Hello and welcome to Summer Shorts, Goose's Quiz's headquarters podcast, Summer Shorts.
It's not very summery today outside.
No, it just got less summery. It was nice cycling this morning. It was nice and warm.
Yeah, I mean, I sat outside for 2 minutes just before and now it's raining. I sat outside in the sun.
Hopefully not for long.
Right. Okay.
It feels like it's finally broken, the weather. And we had like 3 weeks of just quite intense, humid weather. And now we got rain.
One of the most humid weathers.
Some would say.
So wet outside. But, and we've had a good run, though. It was nice on the weekend. Well, yeah. On Saturday. And then yesterday was a bit.
I had a horrendous hangover on Saturday.
What'd you do? Too many lemonades.
I had a couple too many lemonades. Oh. Actually, for the first time in so long, I had shots.
Oh.
Yeah, on a night out.
Summer shots.
Now, I went out to see a friend who's back home from overseas, and that was fine. Had a few drinks with them, but then my wife, her company were having their staff night out, and I joined them on it, and that went to karaoke, which I'm sure Louis was upset he missed.
Nah. What did you sing?
What do you think?
Murder on the Dance Floor.
Tenacious D.
I did sing some Tenacious D, yes. Well,
then you tell us all the time that's one of your go-to quiz.
I was looking for a curveball.
I didn't sing Murder on the Dance Floor. I actually queued up Tenacious D and other people sang it, and I was like, sweet, no problem.
As long as it gets done.
Yeah. And then we acapella'd another Tenacious D song they didn't have.
Fuck her gently.
Exactly what it was. Okay. They left the mics on when they were like, right, everyone out, mics are still on. It's like, well, we're not leaving yet because we've got some songs still to sing.
Wow.
We acapella'd a couple of songs at the end.
And so then, you did a private room?
Yes, yeah, private room karaoke. Yeah. That night was a bit of a whirlwind because I just had a few pints with a friend. It's like, oh, this is really nice. Mm-hmm. His family were there as well. Really nice, just chilled out. And then Alice had been out with the work folk.
Yeah.
And they had dinner at the place that we were also having drinks. So it was all a bit sort of tied up. Ooh, and messy. Then my friend went home. He was quite tired. He'd just flown in. And then I was like, well, I'll just jump on this. And it just sort of snowballed from there. I've not had a big night like that for a long time. And suddenly it was like, oh, I'm out, like proper out. I went out till 3 in the morning.
Ah, fun.
Went to Stramash.
Oh.
It was fun.
And was it a Stramash?
It was a very big Stramash.
Cool.
So no, it was a lot of fun, but I had shots for the first time in like, I can't tell you how long.
What were you shooting?
Tequila. I would refuse really anything else. Tequila is pretty much it these days. I couldn't do Sambuca. Can't go past my lips.
Yeah, someone offered me a Sambuca the other day. I was like, I might actually just pass on that one. Thank you. I don't mind it, but I just was not. Nah.
We were working, you know.
Yeah.
It was midday.
I feel like I've not done shots actually since I was in America. And they don't seem to have a concept of measurement. So.
Yeah. I had someone who used to exclusively drink shots. It was a friend. They used to just, whenever we went up for a round, they'd just do 2 shots at the bar and then drink pints of water for the rest of the night.
Wow.
Yeah.
I quite like that as a plan.
Yeah.
Because I definitely felt I'm quite a big pint drinker, especially nights out, because I tend to drink everything else too fast.
Yeah.
So if I have a pint, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I can drink over a little bit of time. But the problem is when I get a shot in, it's like I don't even notice I've drunk anything.
Yeah.
And then I'm like half an hour later, it's like, oh, I'm feeling.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm wasted.
It is. Yeah.
So, Saturday was a struggle. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
A big struggle.
Bit rusty, bit tender.
Yeah. But now, feeling great.
All guns blazing.
I would say I'm not great in the heat, though. What do you think your optimum operating temperature is?
Oh. Internally? Externally?
Externally.
Great.
What do you think temperature and humidity wise do you work in best?
I couldn't tell you what different humidities felt.
No, neither. We only found out that recently.
I don't know. I'd say I got a pretty decent range of it. Sometimes when it's cold and it's like, don't really want to get out of bed, but I think that's somewhat universal.
Yes.
But when it's warm, I feel more productive.
I think I'm definitely on the cooler scale. But I like it when it's sunny but cool.
Mm.
That's my optimum.
Mm-hmm.
Went out for a walk this morning with the dog, and it was quite nice and sunny, but it wasn't too hot. And that I felt like, oh, this is about right for me. I was about 14 degrees, I think, mm-hmm. and nice and a little bit of sun, but not too hot. Mm. That was my how I liked it. You, Louis?
Good.
What's your operating temperature?
What's my ideal temperature?
If Louis came with instructions, which would definitely be in some kind of hieroglyphics.
I think I'm pretty versatile temperature-wise.
Thermoregulating.
Spend a lot of time adapting to different weather conditions.
Nice.
I spend a lot of time outdoors, so I don't think I have a set one I'm quite good at. I think I'm good overall.
It's good to know.
That's varied. Your video game character stat.
good in all weather conditions.
Good cold weather, sunny, all weather.
Have it all.
Hot. Yeah.
See, I'm not good in hot.
But you need to work hard to get there.
To be able to be good in hot.
Practice.
Go and adapt.
Yeah.
No.
No. I'm never going to adapt.
If we stood in the cold, we wouldn't have evolved.
That's actually, you know, I'm not good in still heat. Like, no wind heat. That's my problem. Humid, no wind heat. I got to a point over the weekend, as I said, had a few too many lemonades the night before, and I really was like, I'm going to have to go and lay in front of a fan for a good while here, because I am struggling, because there was no wind coming through the house.
Oh, no.
It's just like, nope, this is over. You know when you get so frustrated and angry, you're just like, I'm going to have to go somewhere now.
Yeah.
I got to that level. So, yeah.
Tiles. Just wet some tiles and lie down on them. Done. Sorted.
I felt bad for Bernie Dog. He was not doing great with the heat.
No. It's
sort of like, you know when he comes up to you and he goes, he's like, he gives you a little paw and you'll want something. And you're like, well, do you need a poo? No, you've just been out for a poo. You're fine. Do you need some water? You've had loads of water. You're fine. You've had an ice cube just before as well. Like, everything seems to be fine. And all he's pawing you for is, he's just going, by the way, do you know how hot it is?
Are you hot? Because I'm hot.
He's like panting. You're like, I'm aware. I'm also roasting. So this paw isn't helping me. Thanks.
Oh, well, hope it cools down for him soon.
Yeah, he's
not
been
for me because I like the heat.
Yeah, fuck him.
Rude. That's my dog.
But Louis got some blistering hot questions for us. Ooh la la. Should we get stuck into the percentage game?
Go. Lovely. Thank you, Scott. Yes, three questions closest to wins, but we'll discuss the answers too. Question one. Shakespeare's play Romeo and Juliet is set in which city? So the play Romeo and Juliet is set in which city?
Rome. Because Romeo.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is. In my head, straight jump to Verona.
Okay.
Because
he also has a play called Gentleman from Verona.
That'll be it, yeah.
Right. Two gentlemen.
Two gentlemen. Gentlemen.
Of Verona.
Of.
Is it Milan? Not.
I don't know. Is I was thinking Italian as well, but now I'm not.
Explore that. Where else are you thinking?
Maybe like a Swiss?
No, I think it's Italian.
France.
Does it not say in the question?
I'm going to mentalist Louis. France.
The question doesn't give you any clues to which location, but I wouldn't.
Romeo and Juliet. That's an Italianish name.
Yeah.
But city.
Where would they have Juliet windows? That's the big question.
Mm.
And Juliet windows are across all of Europe. So, okay. I mean, we're kind of in.
All right. Like Louis said, no clues.
Florence. Potentially Florence. We've had Florence as an answer recently in the podcast as well. True. I think.
Louis is about to say yes.
Florence is a good option.
All right. Is it Florence?
Florence.
No.
Is it Milan?
No.
Is it a room?
No.
Is it Verona?
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a few Italian. It says we're the one about Bologna University and then the museum in Florence.
Do you have a secret Italian writing for us in the comments? Yeah. Like, I only have information about Italy. Yeah. So.
Inside you, there are two Italians.
Two gentlemen.
Two gentlemen.
That's what the whole Two Gentlemen from Verona is about.
It's about one gentleman.
Yeah, Verona is the answer. But what percentage of teams got that correct? I don't think. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there are any Shakespeare works set in Switzerland.
Right.
But it's nice that your mind went there.
Did Shakespeare travel a lot?
haven't seen his passport. I don't know.
Only interesting fact I have about Shakespeare, died on his birthday.
Oh. And you've got another
book
one.
Ended.
I have another one.
There's another good Shakespeare fact that we have.
Oh, he's married to Anne Hathaway.
There we go. That gets rolled
but
out.
That doesn't feel like it's a fact about Shakespeare. It's like his wife was also called Anne Hathaway, which is...
Yeah, it's a loose fact. Yeah.
And people think that he didn't write all his books. There's some people who don't think... They think Christopher Marlowe wrote some of them.
Yeah, didn't that come out as fact?
Oh, I don't know.
Just like a couple of years ago that he was like a co-writer, ghostwriter.
Okay. Ghosts.
Yeah.
Do you become a ghostwriter as soon as you die?
Yeah.
As an author.
Yeah.
And now you're a ghostwriter.
Shakespeare's a ghostwriter. A turn. Okay. Goose, you've said
74%.
And Scott.
I said 71%.
71%, right. So this one came out at 89%.
Brilliant.
Bugger.
As I was about to say, just before that came out, it's like, as always, for anything art and literature, I just go a little bit higher than I would think it would be because I'm stupid.
Mm.
I don't know things of this sort.
Mm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. No. Shakespeare's pretty well known.
Do you want some of the words he made up?
Yes, please.
Oh, I love this. Semi-skim milk he made up.
Do you want to read this?
Is that one of them?
No.
Oh, right, there is one.
Just jumping in.
I would like to know some
of the words. He invented the phrase, shut up, I'm talking here.
Wait, sorry. Someone said shut up already? And then someone else, like Shakespeare was like, I could add to this.
No, I made that up.
Why should you shut up?
That's just, it's quite a weird phrase, shut up. Like as in...
I don't know who invented
shut
that.
Your mouth.
Shut
up your mouth. Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one.
This right. Probably came from like a shut up that suitcase or shut up your mouth like a suitcase because I don't want anything to come out of it anymore.
Like a suitcase?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why that just got added into that as well.
The 16th century, so it probably predates.
Yes, Louis, give us some phrases.
Sorry, I've went down the rabbit hole of
shut up.
Of shut up. Wikipedia's got a big list of variations of shut your mouth.
The garbage song.
Yeah, so we got, you can shut your head, shut your face, shut your teeth, shut your trap, yap, chops, crunch, cake hole.
Cake hole.
Pie hole. Gob. Shut your cake hole.
Shut your gob.
Yeah. Words invented by the man. Bedroom, fashionable, green-eyed monster, ladybird, moonbeam, squabble, camouflage.
Camouflage?
I think.
It's a fairly impressive word.
Cool. How do you invent a word?
I think you just... got to get it to catch on.
What's the metric? Is it, does it get in the dictionary to be officially? Because they do include a lot of new words, YOLO's in there and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I think it, as long as it's kind of...
part of the zeitgeist. We've talked about this before.
I think if we're just... yeah, if just enough people use it, like... I don't know.
I remember during the Twitch days... the word that I don't even know if it's a real word or not is preamble. That is a real word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't claim that.
No. That's one of these things where, because I went crazy during lockdown, I don't know if that was a real word or not beforehand, because then we used it so much, and then we changed that to preamble, which I don't think is a real just word.
Shorten it by one letter.
From the Latin preambulus, and then preambulum, preambule, preamble. Bramble. We're going along the same lines.
Bramble.
So I think it's definitely, in terms of the family tree, you can see the evolution.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Bramble was different to the preamble, though. It was the part before the preamble.
Yeah.
It had defined things, and we had it defined on our Twitch channel.
Yeah, it was like the little bit of chewing gum you have on the way to the restaurant before you have your entree.
That's exactly it. That's what the dictionary says.
I would never chew chewing gum before a meal.
We'll submit that as a definition alongside the word preamble.
In fact, that's the exact opposite. I would chew chewing gum after a meal.
I was just trying to think of something that was readily available in people's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Cake holes.
Like Snickers or something. Yeah. Fill your gob.
I like preamble. The preamble.
Yeah.
It was good fun. But... cool. Is there any other words that you use at the quizzes?
Well, I always thought of if like my laptop was going flat, then like I would say, I'm getting a flattery. But that's also a word already. But English has no no qualms about using the same spelling for different meaning things.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, also the other way around with that, using the same spelling for different words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like live and live.
I was thinking Molosco would be quite good. Would be the most low scoring team.
Molosco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just the very bottom team.
You're the worst.
Yeah. It sounds a lot nicer than. Yeah. But usually when I announce that, I say that one team has to make a very sturdy foundation for everyone else to be on top of.
That's a nice way of saying that.
Yeah. Strong base.
I've always, this isn't a quiz-based one, but there is one that I've always wanted to have a word for. Do you know when someone goes to pick something up, like a ball up, and then as they go to pick it up, they kick it with their foot, and then they do it like a couple times in a row? Have you ever seen people do that?
Unlike the Three Stooges.
Not in real life. No.
I mean,
no.
It happens more than you would think it does.
I don't think so.
It does.
No.
I want there to be a word for that. I want there to be some kind of like, oh, they're like spelunking along there, whatever.
Spelunking's a great word, but it doesn't mean that.
No, it definitely doesn't. But I mean, I want a word for that because I think it's one of the best moments in life.
Back off.
When someone goes down to like pick something up and they just step forward and kick it again, it's like, brilliant.
Yeah. For me, that'd be the same as like going to pick up like a... Like if you're outside and a napkin flies around, like a, do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
like just a bag. When you go to reach it,
it flies away again.
Yeah, nothing more humbling.
I feel like that humbling thing in the quiz is when you hear, like, we get a real privilege as quiz hosts. You get to hear people talk their team out of an answer that's correct, which. Maybe is one of the most joyous things you'll ever experience.
Yeah,
when someone, especially when they're really adamant. And super like, no, it's definitely this. It's definitely this. It's like, well.
There was a team sitting in front of me the other day. I think the question was, how many hearts does Doctor Who have? And I saw someone just put their hand up and go, 5. And I accidentally shook my head at them. They saw me and they're like, is it this many? I was like, I can't give you any more. I'm like, I already gave you too much. I'm so sorry.
That's so good.
Yeah. Because it's not 5 people.
Question 2, not about Italy. Question 2, in the Pokemon video game series, the majority of the professors are named after what?
Oh, I know this one.
So yeah, in the Pokemon games, the majority of the professors are named after what? Scott, explore.
I think I know this one. No, I'm not sure.
I think it's all like plants. Is it plants or trees?
I think it's trees.
Trees.
But in saying that, he's Ash Ketchum, and Ash is a tree.
Yes.
But then Professor
Oak.
Oak is the big. Yeah, I think it's trees.
Yeah.
Can't think what oak where oak would be.
But I can't really think of any other.
This feels like it would be a really awkward like mastermind question. It's like trees. Actually, I was looking for things you can make tables out of. Sturdy bases.
Molosco teams.
Molosco.
I'd say trees.
Trees.
Trees
yeah.
Are plants.
Okay.
Types of wood.
Types of wood.
Oak. Professor Beech.
Pine.
Is the Professor Pine?
Treated pine.
Professor Cherry.
Plantation
wait,
pine.
Wait, one thing at a time here. I'll give you the list. Okay. Professor Oak.
Yeah.
Elm.
Yes.
Ivy.
Ivy.
Birch. An ivy tree.
Ivy plant, is it not?
Well, the I accepted. You're I accepted plant.
It's going to be wrong. Yeah, right.
Oh, sorry.
Birch, rowan, juniper, sycamore, kukui, Mongolia, Sonia. Don't know what that is. Seda, Turo. There was a Hawaiian theme in some of them, so
right.
All right, okay.
Yeah, that'll be some of the professors.
I've got cool. I got a good fact about this afterwards that I really want to share.
How many
with you.
Words did Pokemon invent?
How many people knew that?
Yeah, what percentage of teams got that correct? Yeah, Professor Oak's the famous one. He was in the OG stuff.
Hmm. And then just send him out. Just yeah, hey, go do this for a while.
Yeah. Sending kids away.
Yeah. It was like 11 or something at the start, isn't it?
No. So he can get to know his mother.
Louis.
Yeah. What percentage of teams know their Pokemon?
Okay.
3, 2, 1, turn. Goose, you've said
73%.
So one less than last time.
Yeah.
And Scott?
82%.
82%.
11 more than last time.
Yes, correct.
Correct.
The percentage of teams who got this correct, we have a 73 guess and an 82 guess. This one came out at 61%.
Oh, what?
61.
Clean sweep.
Oh, yeah, that's good for you. Despite there being apparently 122 Pokemon games.
What? I bet it has all, like, it counts all these little rubbish ones that were, like, you got Pokemon Go, big. But then I bet there's loads of little ones that were, like, just rubbish.
Ah, and probably a ton unreleased in the Western world.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and there's over 1,000 Pokemon species.
Do you want to hear my good fact about professors in the... So, you know...
Wait, is this Pokemon-based?
Pikachu.
Okay.
Detective Pikachu came out.
Yeah.
And didn't have Professor Oak in it for one reason, which is that Nintendo said that... Or Pokemon, the people who own... Pokemon said they wouldn't have anyone but Robin Williams to play Professor Oak, and because he died before even the film was greenlit, they said they don't even want him in the film.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So, yeah.
I didn't see him as a Professor Oak.
I think I probably did. As soon as I heard it, I was like, yeah, I could see Robin Williams being that.
Interesting.
So the people who were making the film said the only person that would play it is Robin Williams, and because he's not alive, they're not putting him in the film.
Huh. So
that's a nice shout out, I think, because he's a huge fan.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah,
and he's a big fan of video games.
Yeah, he got a daughter named Zelda.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Named his daughters. He didn't get one called.
He picked
one up.
In a slight twist here, you see, if you were in a video game, which character would you be in a video game? Like, would you want to most be in a video game?
Can I give you my Pokemon fact?
Please.
I play a lot of Pokemon. That's not
that's the fact.
You can take that to the bank.
For a long time, you couldn't get a Kadabra card because Yuri Geller took Pokemon to court because he claimed it was based on him.
Right.
So he sued Pokemon.
Oh, we should do that. Is there a Goose Pokemon? And just be like, I think it's actually based on me.
There's Pokemon which is just humans. There's Pokemon which is just humans. Which is just little men. Did you know this? Like the fighting one? I can't remember what it's called.
Hitmonlee, Hitmonchan.
No. There's like a...
Machop. Or the more recent ones.
There's more recent ones, which is just people.
This feels like something Scott's woken up from a dream and shouted.
Guys.
Pokemon are just men.
Just innocent men.
Just innocent.
No, it's just... There's one that's like in a karate gi.
Yeah, I've got a picture of him. Is that a man?
That's not a man.
What about Mr. Mime?
I mean, I'd say
not a man.
He's a mime, and mime aren't people.
You know what men look like.
So, like, there's sort of humanoid characters, but I wouldn't say if Mr. Mime walked down the street, I wouldn't be like, oh, there's a normal person. I would be like, there's a weird Pokemon.
Oh, Pokemon.
Oh, that's so funny.
But then...
Don't explore it too much, or we'll get into what people eat and
which Pokemon they'd eat.
Yeah, the cannibalistic qualities of
of
the Pokemon world.
That's so funny.
I don't really have any Pokemon facts.
Well, I think
two is plenty.
I'd asked a question that I'd be keen to still hear the answer about. So if any game, video game, from we all played games when we were younger, right? We were all sort of video gamey people.
Yeah.
Who would you be from what video game?
Oh, I don't know.
It feels like there's certain video game characters that are quite sort of expendable, like as in they die a lot.
Don't look at me.
Are we talking like you have the same?
You get to be them.
Anyone I can be, or who would I most fall into? What character?
You know who you would most fall into?
I'd love to be a vendor.
A vendor.
Just travel the world selling my wares this game.
I don't travel too much. I guess some games you see them in every world.
Yeah.
I feel like you would be. You feel like I genuinely think you'd be in something in the Half-Life world, in Portal or something like that, as like
in a good way.
I feel like you could be Gladys quite easily.
Right. Okay.
Awkwardly difficult.
I don't know. I was thinking like It'd be fun just to drive go-karts, but you can go and do that.
Yeah. Do you know there are people too?
Guys, Mario. They're just regular cars.
Mario's just some guy.
Just a guy.
The mine is Guybrush Threepwood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mario's done it. From Curse of Monkey Island.
Yeah. Yeah. Curse of Monkey Island. I mean, we played the new one recently. It was brilliant. Oh. Remastered. But it's a new version. And I genuinely found myself just giddily smiling the whole way through, because I'm just like, this is just what I remember when I was young.
There's one part of that game, so it's like a, what do you call it, like a point
adventure.
Yeah. And there's one part where it's like you have to have a duel with someone. You go into the barbers and then you challenge someone to a duel. Yeah. And then the duel is you get to pick two guns or a guitar. And every time you pick a gun, the other person shoots faster. And you have to pick the guitar and like outplay them.
Way to ruin the game.
Sorry, it's just spoiler. One little part. But we used to go and visit family friends, and we'd always get up to that part and just be like, can't get past it. Don't know what. And this was like pre easily accessible internet walkthroughs and things like that. And don't know why we would just never pick the guitar until one day it was like, oh, what if you click the strings and it plays it? And it's like, oh, we did it. It was so easy. Oh. Just be like, but yeah, so.
That's for me, Guybrush Threepwood. I played all the games 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Is he a pirate?
Guybrush's son.
Ooh, I don't know.
Boybrush. Brilliant.
It actually is. I didn't make that up. I've never played any of the games. I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, right. I think you'd really like the games, actually.
Yeah, too late.
Still my favorite bit of it all was there was a bunch of rhyming pirates who would always rhyme with everything you said. You wouldn't set off. You were trying to get somewhere. Mm. You'd hired them to sail the boat for you, and they would all just start rhyming and singing along with you and doing these pirate shanties. And so you had to like pick what you were then going to next say, so that they would just start rhyming with it. And eventually you had to ask, it's like, does anyone want to avoid scurvy by eating an orange? And they all go, sadness.
Okay, Scott, to reclaim some glory. Question 3. Who directed the 1996 film Mars Attacks?
Oh, I remember asking this question and being like, oh, really? That's so interesting.
1996, Mars Attacks.
Yes, correct.
I've not seen.
Not for a long time. I don't know if I've even seen it the whole way through. I think I thought it would be scary. I don't think it is, really. Not Spielberg. Spielberg? Not Spielberg. Doesn't feel very Spielbergy, does it?
No, but it could be.
Again, I know. But it's a funny film, isn't it? It's got funny aspects to it.
Is it a parody film?
I think a little bit.
Or is it?
Don't really know. It's a comedy film.
Though. I can picture the
pastiche
Martians in my head.
Of those types of films.
Of alien invasion things from the 60s, whatever.
I mean, it'll be said, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, but I can't think who it would be.
Yeah, I don't know.
We give up.
Tim Burton.
I did know that. As soon as it was said, of course I knew that, yeah. Was Johnny Depp in it?
Berto.
I don't know. James Bond was.
Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
I just refer to everyone as their biggest character.
Jack Nicholson played the president.
Oh, wow.
Danny DeVito was in it for 6 lines. Jack Black was in it. Glenn Close. Pierce Brosnan played the professor.
It's a big cast. Mm. Well played. Was he Professor Oak?
No. No. This went down too far. Professor Donald.
It was not a Donald tree. Right.
The rest of the cast: Michael J. Fox, Natalie Portman, Martin Short, Tom Jones was in it. He was in it quite a bit. Christina Applegate.
That's not unusual.
And Michael J. Fox's initial was Michael F. Fox.
Originally.
Sorry.
Did you say his initial was...
Do I?
Yeah, what percentage? There's the cast. Picture it in your head. Percentage. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, my pen's running out.
Oh, no. Goose, you've said...
44%.
Scott, you've said...
What do you think I said?
It looks like a 4.
And in front of that?
No, there's nothing there. Why are you writing the last letter first? last number first.
Well, if you said there's nothing there, then
34%.
You've written 34%. Yeah. Very few.
That's what I meant to write. So just so we're all on the same page.
34 and a 44. It came out at 48%.
Oh, it's the clean sweep.
So a clean sweep.
Ah, what a good day.
And look, now the sun's out.
Yeah. That's because I was predestined to win this. It was happening.
God wants to watch his favorite people podcast. That's what it is, Blue Skies.
And that's what Summer Shorts is about.
That's what Summer Shorts is about.
Slightly longer episode today, but enjoy. We'll be back again next week with some more podcast critical action. Remember to subscribe, tell your friends, share along. It's slightly different format at the moment over the summer, but we will be back to regular podcasting after the summer. But remember, Fringe Show. Fringe Show's on. Get your tickets.
Do it.
Please.
Bye.
Bye.
This is a big shout out to all the Patreons that support the fundraising wing. Stephen Lamb, Gatho, Catherine Andrews, Russ Kirk, the Canadian half of Hugelit Goose, Luddite 16, Susie Pope, Joe Williams, Rachel Alexander, Howl Owl, Shara Gatari, Icy Canuck, Joanna MUFC fan, Just a Girl in the USA, and the other Patreons who have chosen to remain anonymous. We love you all and are grateful for your involvement. If you want to support us helping provide charities with free fundraising quizzes, please visit patreon.com/goosesquizzes for more information.